Rap.
Drugs. You are now listening to Rap Drugs Pod.
Welcome to the Rap Drugs Pod.
What? Here we are today.
Yeah.
The day of today is where we are. Hello.
The anniversary of I'll start on a good note. The day before 420. The day before Bicycle Day, not to be confused with World Bicycle Day, June 3rd, created by the UN in 2018, but the LSD related one. And then unfortunately today though, the PSYOP / very sad mass murder anniversary from Nova Scotia. I don't know if Buddy snapped because of COVID or if Trudeau was just trying to get rid of assault rifles and had one of his CIs in the East Coast go on a rampage with his fake cop car and all that crazy shit that went down. Probably just an insane person, but
I think our theory was
I like to dream.
Our theory last year was that it was a undercover cop or an associate of a cop.
Yeah, well, how else would you get away with
loose?
How else would you be able to orchestrate all that decaling and stuff for the replica car that was supposedly so real? RCMP officers didn't even know.
I don't know, man.
But yeah,
I don't know how else.
It's
either way.
Yeah,
maybe it's really easy. Should we test it, see how easy
send some money,
obtain all this stuff,
send some money to paypal.me/rapdrugspod and we will use it to build a replica police car and we'll gift that away to a homeless man.
We'll come up with price, time,
yeah, we'll
simplicity.
We'll you know, any businesses that want to get involved, we'll make sure you're anonymized. Yeah. Like, we'll change your details and blur your face. But this is a Rap Drugs Pod estate exclusive. We stole the Fifth Estate and just changed it to Rap Drugs Pod Estate. Because it's I think it's a cool ending. Like, I don't know what happened to the first four estates, but I'm very interested in the fifth one. But yeah. Globe and Mail actually dropped an article on the anniversary of the Nova Scotia mass shooting. Obviously, a community's left in grief. Like, I could only imagine being in Nova Scotia and being like this. This is how the article starts. Tara Long locks her doors now. There's not a lot of crime. Tara Long, one of the folks in New Germany, Nova Scotia, a quiet rural hamlet tucked into the pine trees of Lunenburg County. Okay. But that does little to ease her mind. In the past year, she installed a security fence around her house, surrounded herself with two large dogs, and started keeping a gun nearby. Well, that's the problem. Like, if she just read up on the stats, had some logic involved, she'd know that gun in her home isn't safe. The two dogs is really all she needs because dogs are a better deterrent than security systems. And you just train them to be attack dogs. If you keep them,
Jason's
like the gun being nearby is a danger. Her kids are going to kill themselves on accident, or she's going to accidentally shoot one of her own family.
Just teach them how to shoot it.
You got to teach them gun safety.
You got to teach them. That's it, Jay.
But it just seems like she hastily bought a gun.
The statistics are skewed because not enough people know about gun safety.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There was even this Simpsons dig on it. Simpsons season 9, episode something. Homer goes to buy a handgun and the guy won't sell it to him because he's got to do a background check. The background check comes back where it's like, you've been in a mental institution? Homer's like, yep. And it says here you have a problematic alcoholism. He's like, some could say that. And then he's like, and you got in a fight with President George Bush? And he's like, former President Bush. and then the guy like stamps his thing problematic or potentially dangerous. That's what he stamps it. And he's like, potentially dangerous? Does that mean I can't buy a gun? And the guy's like, no, that means you can only buy 3 handguns and 1 semi-automatic.
Nice.
So yeah, exactly. When you've got those kind of people being able to buy guns without any sort of safety training whatsoever, not even having to put in a certain amount of hours at the range. Yeah, that's where the stats come from. Like, I'm sure if there was Canadian-specific stats on it, it would be a lot safer. Like, homes with guns would probably be safer than homes with illegal guns. And then without a gun, like, yeah, who knows? You're probably unsafe from intruders, but you're not going to accidentally shoot somebody who comes on your property who's
I always find crazy
who's not a threat but had a knife on them.
There's people that live in like somewhere in like the Midwest or like southern western area of Texas or of the US where there's a lot of like hogs. I guess they're like, you need a semi-automatic. You ever seen 80 hogs run down on your house? It's like, what the fuck kind of place are you living in? Sounds like you should move.
Yeah.
You have to stand outside with a semi-automatic. Last wild hogs.
Yeah, like, fuck. That sounds like fucking the reverse of the Big Bad Wolf. Like, he built his house out of straw, so he had to stand outside with a semi-automatic to keep the pigs away. But this one built his house out of sticks. Wasn't any better against the pigs, so... But he also had a semi-automatic. And then the rich guy built his house out of bricks or wood frame and stucco. And he was fine. None of the pigs could bust on through. The pack of wild pigs. He slept
fine and didn't shoot himself on accident.
Yeah, exactly. Mostly because he was rich and white. Did I mention the other two pigs were black and Asian?
And we're shot by police.
And the by pigs we mean police, groups of police officers. That's also what the guy in the video was referring to, and Todd missed the context. but yeah, speaking of pigs, mass shooter who might have been one, Tara Long's anxiety does not allow her to relax, so she should take like Zoloft or Xanax or smoke some weed. When she was surprised in her own home recently when her daughter came up behind her, she broke down and started crying. What happened to this lady? If I hear any noises around the house at night, I'm freaking out. I'm walking around with a baseball bat. But she has a gun. Like, what? Wrong weapon, dude.
In case the bat doesn't work the first time. Yeah.
She's got a bat in one hand and a gun in her other hand. Like, she's like Harley Quinn or something. She looks like Babe Ruth.
The gun is just for the grenade launcher attachment.
She has a bat covered in barbed wire. It's got some nails going through it too. Plainspeaking Marentimer, who often tucks her long brown hair under a ball cap. I'm so anxious I can hardly breathe. Miss Long is living with debilitating trauma that crept into her life. Her brother Aaron Tuck was one of 22 people, including a pregnant mother, killed in a shooting rampage on April 18 and April 19, 2020, across rural Nova Scotia by a man dressed as an RCMP officer. Now I especially think it's a psyop where they were trying to just ruin Bicycle Day and the day before 420 for us. They didn't even realize they'd killed two birds with one stone by also getting rid of assault rifles. But the man who murdered Mr. Tuck, his teenaged daughter, Emily Tuck, and his partner, Jolene Oliver, was their neighbor. Gabriel Wartman, a 51-year-old denturist. In all, he killed 13 people who lived near his cottage in Porto Pique, setting fires to home in a rage that woke the community from its sleep. As police closed in, he escaped in a look-alike RCMP cruiser and continued to kill people in their homes and cars in a 13-hour attack that didn't end until he was shot dead by two officers at a gas station north of Halifax. A year later, there is still no good explanation for why the gunman did what he did or why it took police so long to stop him. And this is...
He got shot, right?
Yeah, yeah, at a gas station. Officers gunned him down.
No one knows why.
But yeah, I find that so crazy. Like, all these mass shooter cases, they're like, we don't know why. Like, except maybe the Las Vegas shooter, where he was like going bankrupt and a gambling addict and was like paranoid like this lady and was stockpiling guns. And even still, I think he had weird connections to like military and intelligence community stuff, which was kind of very strange, but that's beside the point. It's like, if you watch Netflix, like half the shit on Netflix is about serial killers, like the dramatization of them and like the docuseries behind them. And like, here's why they did what they did. And we know this. And we interviewed them a bunch of times afterwards. But with the mass shooters, it's like, because they kill them, they never figure anything out.
Yeah.
But you would think they'd be able to do like forensic files and like interview people who knew him and get to the bottom of it within it. Maybe it takes more than a year, but
people a year's knew a pretty him, long though.
Time to have no answers.
He probably wouldn't have shot anyone.
True. Maybe that's the problem. No one got to know him. So he's like, yeah. These fucking people don't give a fuck about me. Why would I give a fuck about them? And then just started ripping bullets at his neighbors.
I know I would.
Yeah.
I don't think it's hard to not understand. I'm always one day away.
Mm-hmm. That's why they won't sell me guns or bullets. Also because I don't have the safety training. But yeah, rest in peace to all the Nova Scotians and respects to their and condolences to their families. Yeah. So like, it's been a year though. Get over it. Like, come on. Like, unless it's like your dad or something, like, come on, take it easy, lady. Your brother, like, you probably would have wished him dead before this happened. And now you feel guilty. I know Todd said he wished I died plenty of times on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
As Nova Scotians mark the grim anniversary of Canada's worst mass shooting, many are troubled by the lack of answers. Some evidence has trickled out in a slow drip of police warrant documents released through a media-led court effort. But the RCMP's case about the gunman and a public inquiry into the police response are still a long way from revealing key details at the heart of the case. The public inquiry isn't mandated to report its findings or make recommendations to prevent similar tragedies until November 2022. Among the details that process is expected to examine is why officials failed to use the province's emergency alert system at any point during the attack, sounding awfully familiar to 9/11. How they failed to not realize it wasn't actually a test. Oh, we thought this was just fucking a military test on the Pentagon services. We didn't know there was actually commercial airplanes flying into the biggest towers in NYC, the biggest office buildings in NYC. We thought that was just a military test.
Yeah.
We couldn't talk to air traffic controllers and check on things. It was a test that we didn't want to check. And this excuse for this one is fucking sad. It's like, oh, we didn't want to alert anyone to it and scare them. Like, isn't that what you do when you send out an Amber Alert constantly? Like, wee-woo, in your fucking house at like 11 at night or 4 in the morning. Like, God forbid it was your own children, but this person's missing. Look for this vehicle. Like, yeah, a lot of people are heading to work for like 4 or 5 a.m.
I don't know, man. You want mass panic? Everyone would start running out into the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
The streets would just be flooded and then he'd just be able to ping everyone.
I mean, you would think people would just... He'd be standing out there,
they'd all just flood at the streets, and he'd just be like...
Or you would think people would just stay in their homes and, like, find their guns and baseball bats.
And shoot him.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be like, if I see an RCMP... Well, that's the other problem. Like, they don't want any RCMP officers getting shot. It's like, if I see an RCMP officer pulling up, I'm shooting the fuck out of him.
Just people just start shooting cops, and they're just like, oh, I thought he was the guy. He looked just like him.
Now I don't know. This guy could be potentially a Batman villain. Like, he's probably autistic and doesn't realize the Marvel universe isn't real. And he's like, I'm the denturist. And he fucking dressed up. He like watched Terminator one too many times. So he's like, I'm going to dress up like an RCMP officer and a cop, and then they're not going to know any better. They're not going to be able to call a warning against me or shoot at me because they'll think I'm also one of them. Like, oh, but it's a crazy story where he rammed the police officer and killed one of them too. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Listen to like our old pods. One of the early ones we talk about this shit, or a couple of them even.
Yeah. Back when I like cared.
Yeah. Cared about anything. Nova Scotians pause Sunday, and COVID fatigue is real, eh?
Oh yeah.
It's like all I care is like having underwear that wasn't the same I've had on for 6-7 days. Or all like
kisses sailed.
Yeah, as long as they don't have poop in them now, I'm good. And like they can have like a thin layer of skid marks, it's like actual physical poop. Like a rosebud or bigger. But yeah, the skid marks all good. I'm still wearing them. Nova Scotians paused Sunday in a moment of silence as memorial signs, banners, and messages of remembrance appeared around the province. Miss Long is among those who organized a march from a grocery store parking lot in Truro to a nearby RCMP detachment, where they laid roses in honor of the victims. R.I.P. again.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Efforts to get answers have taken multiple forms. Many family members of victims have proposed class action lawsuits, one against the gunman's estate, another against the provincial government and the RCMP. Their lawyers are still waiting to learn if their claim against the police in the province for failing to protect the safety and security of public will be granted class actions. Miss Long is not part of these lawsuits. The lawsuits have put families at odds with the killer's longtime girlfriend, Lisa Banfield, who is also being sued after she was charged in December with supplying ammunition used in the massacre. I think that's like manslaughter or something. Like,
that's like a...
Like, that's a thought crime. Yeah, exactly. Facilitating a mass murder. Like, she got like 20 counts of that. Or how many people did this guy shoot? Kill?
Did she go to jail?
No, she's just being sued.
But that's fucking dumb.
Yeah, two other people, Miss Banfield's brother, James Banfield, and a brother-in-law, Brian Brewster, have also been charged with the same crime. Mr. Banfield has pleaded not guilty, while Miss Banfield and Mr. Brewster have yet to enter a plea. See, my thing is, did these people help him build the RCMP vehicle? Because if so, they are more responsible than the guy who actually did this shit.
Well, all it said was...
You should have reported him to the police at that point.
All it said is that they gave him ammunition.
Yeah.
Which, I like, guess they that's told not that big of a deal.
Did they give him, like, gun ammunition, or were they like, hey, your neighbors are fuck faces and want to kill you? Like, if you don't kill them first, they'll kill you. You know, like, fuel the fire. Like,
why would they say that though? I wonder what their excuse is.
Maybe she was like a common law with him and like didn't want to divorce and like have to leave. So she thought like if she just degraded him enough, like he would leave. But like, and she'd get half his stuff. But instead, like, he just snapped and killed everyone. He was like writing it down every time she said something belittling.
All her made up things.
And he's like, she's on my side. Yeah, exactly. She's on my side. She's letting me know the truth about my neighbors, when really it was all lies.
Yeah. He's like,
today. Yeah, we should give her the guillotine.
I defeat all my enemies.
We should. Yeah, exactly. We should bring back the guillotine for this lady. Since she was charged, Miss Banfield, who is also suing the gunsman estate, has become a divisive figure among those who affected by the shooting. She's been caught up in a complicated knot of conspiracy theories spread by amateur web sleuths who are convinced police aren't telling the whole story about her involvement. Much of their speculation focuses on
us. Are they talking about us?
Yeah. Because we don't get paid for our web sleuthing. We're amateurs. Okay. You should see how much money we've stolen online. You wouldn't call us amateurs then if you saw how much was in our Bitcoin wallets.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, much of the speculation focuses on the RCMP and the government, but many are also in the suspicions of Mrs. Banfield. So we weren't part of them, but now we are fully entrenched by also being suspicious of this lady. We're an ally. Yeah. We're just a former ally of the web sleuths. Now we are amateur web sleuths.
Yeah.
We don't see her as a victim, Miss Long said. I don't understand why the police are protecting her. Maybe because she's on trial, and the same reason they're not releasing stuff about the gunman. They don't want her to get it and be able to just weasel her way out of it.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots. Learn some. Yeah, fucking idiots. This person's too dumb for their own good. she should have went and got some therapy instead of spent all this money on dogs and weapons and security fences. Or moved. Like, just fucking move. Maybe both. Others see things differently, pointing to the gunman's history of domestic abuse and troubling descriptions of his violence in Miss Banfield's own statements to the police. They see the charges against her as victim blaming. Is she dead? I don't think she's a victim of the mass shooting. And a deflection of the killer's horrific crimes.
I think she's a victim of domestic abuse, though, is what they're saying, Jay.
Yeah, I guess so. That maybe leads it. That's probably true. But yeah,
victim blamer.
This article goes deep on this, so like, I don't know if we want to glorify what this guy did by repeating it all.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay.
He's my Lord and Savior.
This is what not to do, basically. Not to say this, didn't notice. In her statement of claim against the estate filed with Nova Scotia Supreme Court, Ms. Banfield says she was the victim of assault and battery and suffered physical, emotional, and psychological injuries and trauma. In a series of interviews with the police, partly released through a legal challenge by the Globe and Mail and other media outlets, Ms. Banfield explained why she had been afraid of her partner for 19 years. 19 years. And she didn't shoot him instead? I think she does deserve some trouble. Like, I am blaming her now. He was controlling and prone to violent outbursts, choking her on multiple occasions, she said. Mr. Wortman, who also seemed obsessed with guns and about killing police, would humiliate her in front of people at the Dartmouth Dentures office where they worked. She told investigators she kept her nieces away from him. He always said things about hurting her family, so she was afraid to leave him, reads one passage. It was the little things that would set him off, not the big things. Again, why didn't she like feed him poison or shoot him in the head? Like, take one for the team, lady. Especially if it was like in self-defense. Like, you don't even go to jail for that in Canada, like, or anywhere, I think. Like, if you just had a fucking gun tucked and you shot him in self-defense.
Like, I know, murder is like so easy. Why don't people do it more?
Yeah. I mean, if you're like, if someone's ruining your life for 19 years, like, jail for like 7 isn't nothing. Like, that would be fine in comparison. Especially in Canada. It's probably better than whatever fucking slop they're eating. Mr. Wortman and fucking Mrs. Banfield. Fucking dumbasses. But anyways, the night he began his rampage, the couple were celebrating their anniversary at their home in Portapique. Suspicious? What? Maybe if she just had a good anniversary, it wouldn't have happened. On a FaceTime call with friends, they said they were planning a commitment ceremony for their 20th anniversary. One friend joked, "Don't do it," and that set Mr. Wortman off.
Murder police?
No, plan a commitment ceremony for the next anniversary.
Oh.
One friend joked, "Don't do it." Told police he dragged... Oh, that set Mr. Wortman off. Miss Banfield told police he dragged her by the hair across the floor, kicking her and tying her hands together with a belt from a bathrobe.
Well, who hasn't done that?
And my question is, like, how, like, this is a high quality bathrobe if the you can actually get that thing tied and not be able to just, like, it's shimmy out of it. Like, silk. My bathrobe, yeah, maybe it is silk, yeah. My bathrobe, it's, like, cotton, and, like, you, no matter how hard you tie that thing up, it's opening up. Like, you're flashing your neighbors if you go outside. By accident.
Yeah.
That's at least my story to the police. But as he began pouring some gasoline around their cottage, he grabbed his Glock handgun with a laser sight, Miss Banfield told police. He shot near her head twice, and Miss Beale told investigators she believed she was going to die. Instead, he put handcuffs on her and put her in the backseat of a fake police car. She told police she escaped and ran into the woods, eventually hiding in a trunk of a tree, and didn't come out until morning. This seems so fake. Like, I can understand why. Like, I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying, like, this sounds like the fakest story I ever heard. He lit his own home on fire, killed 20-something people, or over a dozen people, but he didn't shoot you in the head twice, and you escaped from the back of his police car, but you didn't escape earlier. Like, what? Did he not have child lock on? Like, did he, was he, like, what? Like, what? I just don't get how he wouldn't have, like, shot her below the waist so she couldn't have ran away if he was, like, shooting beside her head.
Yeah, I wish he killed more people too.
Yeah, like at least this one lady. Like then I would maybe
then I wouldn't have to blame her.
Yeah, exactly. Or if she just killed him, we could say thank you. You're a hero.
But no, although, instead she had to be suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. Instead she had to like keep her nieces away because he might kill her family, and I was fucking abused for 19 years and didn't do anything about it other than complain to the police after he killed a bunch of other people. Poor me. Like, geez, some people, privileged. This lady must be white.
Her name's probably Karen, isn't it?
It's Jane. So it's about as close to Karen as you can get. For some, the assault that precipitated the deadly rampage is further proof of the link between domestic violence and mass shootings. Okay. Now, I can trust the scientists. Maybe this was just, he was mad he couldn't kill her, so he had to go and kill a bunch of other people. And he let her get away because he didn't want her to see what was going on. But the RCMP's decision to charge Miss Banfield inflamed the debate around whether she was a victim or an accomplice or both. Sounds like an accomplice to me if the RCMP charged her. We need to stop blaming the victim, and I think that's what happened with Lisa. Charging her was only put fuel into the fire and blaming women and blaming Lisa for her partner's atrocity, said Jean Sarson. Why can't it be
both?
Yeah, listen to this. She's a co-founder of the advocacy group NS Feminist Fighting Femicide.
What's that?
Like, I guess...
Sounds made up.
I guess, yeah, exactly. Plus, wouldn't it be like gender side or like sexicide? Like feminist fighting femicide. Like they're saying like killing of, there's people out there that are killing all women in the same way Hitler was killing all the Jews, or like the Turkish people were killing all the Armenistanian people.
Yeah.
Like
culturally.
That name is so insensitive to genocide. Like, come on. I can see femicides fighting women murderers. Maybe that's a good name. But you had to have the triple alliteration. You had to keep it clean and make a joke out of genocide. But anyways, this biased opinion. Yeah. Because she's a woman, I think it makes her it easier to blame her. This mass shooting must sink into our heads the idea that relational violence is really a societal issue. So you're telling me if he was gay and had a male partner who had some crazy story like this, if he came out and said all this, we would believe him? Like, no, this has nothing to do with her being a woman. This has to do with, yeah, maybe the domestic abuse thing is an issue and it affects more women than men. But you're saying something that is false. No matter who this person's partner could be, a baby or a zur, we would have thought the same thing. And maybe, oh yeah, that's against, we're against trans people now. Like, come on, lady. It's not always about that. Just like it's not always about race. Sometimes it is. It's not always though.
Sure.
Like, well, others see Miss Banfield in a more negative light, as someone who did not do enough to alert police to her common law's bizarre paranoid behavior, his many threats and assaults against her, and his growing collection of guns and ammunition. She has yet to enter a plea to the charges of unlawfully transferring a .223 caliber Remington cartridges and a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson cartridges to the gunman in the month before his attack. And my question is, why wasn't he just getting this ammunition himself? It does make things more suspicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. The RCMP have repeatedly
said... Was he not allowed to buy guns?
I don't know. We had a collection of them, so I would assume he is. He didn't have a... He was an informant for the RCMP, so I would also assume he was. Like that, or he somehow was paid by them with that $250,000 bribe. Or $400,000 right. bribe, or whatever it was in cash he got from some division of CIBC. That other RCMP officers said, this is how they pay informants. But Mr. Wortman was also well known to be manipulative. The RCMP repeatedly said she had no prior knowledge of her plans. Mr. Wharton was almost obsessively deceptive in using others to help him gather materials he's used for his attack. Add in the element of domestic violence, and it's not hard to understand how coercion can play a role in cases like this, Ms. Sarson said. Ms. Banfield's silence, however, has only fueled the questions. Yeah, why is she not opening up publicly about his history and what she knows in order to make herself innocent or prove her innocence? Right now,
yeah,
the duty is on her to prove to the public she's innocent.
Yeah, just like she's covered in duty.
Yeah, just like in the courts, the duty is on the courts to prove that she's guilty. Innocent right. until proven guilty. That's not the case in the public eye. You're guilty until proven innocent in the public eye.
Yeah.
As a member of society,
fuck you.
You should know this. We don't know the story, so in the absence of information, we're dealing with an extraordinary amount of speculation, said Sandra McCullough, a lawyer with Patterson Law in Halifax, who is leading the lawsuit by the victims' families against the killer's estate, worth an estimated $2.1 million. The public is coming to its own conclusions, and the only thing that's going to fix that is finding out what really happened. Until that time, we can't help but speculate and have concerns about information that's coming out. Yes, he killed 22 people. That's crazy. So cluster one, on April 18, while celebrating their anniversary, the gunman assaults his common-law wife, allegedly. At 10:26 p.m., officers are called to help a man who was shot driving in Portapique.
Allegedly.
This did happen. Oh, yeah. RCMP, he was definitely shot. I don't know about his spouse. That's allegation. She didn't have a scratch on her. But she probably helped him facilitate all these crimes and then came up with this fucking story because she was too pussy to shoot someone herself. Or she allegedly. Did. And he took the fall for it all. Yeah.
Allegedly.
RCMP arrived to find homes on fire and bodies at more than 7 locations. Police learned that the gunman is carrying multiple firearms, wearing a replica RCMP uniform, and driving a lookalike police vehicle. So the fact that she ran away into the forest instead of to the nearest home to notify them to contact the police is also very suspicious to me. The next morning, the gunman travels more than 60 kilometers and kills 3 more people and burns their homes. He kills a woman out walking, then bangs on the door of another couple home. He drives to Debert, where he pulls over 2 women and kills them. Cluster 3, Shubenacadie, Milford, Enfield. RCMP Constable Chad Morrison is wounded in a firefight with the gunman, who then collides with Constable Heidi Stevenson and fatally shoots her. The gunman then kills a passerby who stops to help, sets 2 cars on fire, and proceeds to the nearby house of a woman he knows. He kills her, removes his replica uniform, and takes her Mazda 3. The gunman continues south towards Halifax and stops at the Irving Big Stop near Einfield. He recognized and shot dead by an RCMP officer who was also stopped for gas. Dope. Good dude. That's a hero.
Yeah.
Not the guy shooting everybody, the RCMP officer that shot the guy shooting everybody. Just in case you were confused up until this point because how we were talking about the story.
Yeah, who's that guy? His handler?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, man, you're only supposed to kill 21 people. Sorry. Boom.
served your purpose.
That's true, too. He probably shot himself, and then the other RCMP put his hands on the guns for, like, making fingerprints so that he could be a hero.
Yeah.
And then went in with the gun, threatened the fucking convenience store guy and smashed all the fucking camera fucking hard drives and shit so that no one would be able to see he wasn't. But yeah, that's what a true hero classic would do. Any hero, as I would say. In the absence of answers, some people are trying to find their own. A loosely knit group of web sleuths, Facebook users, and YouTube personalities. At least they're calling us YouTube personalities, Todd. They must know we're back on YouTube.
Right on.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell, comment down below, give us a dislike if you agree, give us a like if you disagree, or do the opposite, whatever you're into. We don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, give it to me.
They're digging into Miss Banfield's past, trying to find red flags that they say others don't want to see. We're doing the job of the police, said Mrs. Long, who has appeared as a guest on a YouTube channel hosted by an Alberta man who has produced dozens of videos discussing the case. Okay, so some people have really gone too deep on this one thing. The families are working together to I don't know. Man, I can't imagine he gets a lot of viewers, but maybe YouTube hasn't stopped him like they stop us. maybe he's not pissing off the right people and just the wrong people. The families are working together to piece together what happened, and the RCMP are doing a really good job making sure we're having trouble finding things. They're working hard to cover it up. Very true. They reject what Mrs. Long calls the mainstream narrative about the mass shootings. She and others believe the gunman didn't act alone. I also just said that with Miss Banfield, and suggest the RCMP knew about the attacks ahead of time, or at the very least allowed him to continue. She's skeptical of Miss Banfield's account of domestic violence. I'm not too skeptical of her accounts of domestic violence. I really think that happened. I'm just like, Why didn't she kill him first? And Why did she help him carry out these murders and then disappear into a forest? Or didn't help him, but she still disappeared into a forest or came up with some alibi that nobody can corroborate.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds to me like she was probably conjuring spells. Like, what else are you doing in a forest?
Yeah. But the real reason why I'm like, yeah, the RCMP should have known about this ahead of time is because, do you remember that guy who was like, there was some terrorist from like St. Thomas or like Strathroy or Stratford. Abdul? He was going to like white guy, radicalized white guy. maybe he changed his name to Abdul or Job.
Dave?
I think that was it. But supposedly he was like getting a cab to take him to Toronto so he could like set up a bomb around Union Station. And like the police stopped him before he left his house even. It's like, You'd have to know what this guy was up to unless he was 10 steps ahead of you and knew how the RCMP worked and wasn't using the internet to figure this shit out or figure anything out.
Yeah, man. Some people are just
smart. And was traveling without his cell phone. That's true. Some people are like autistic about this kind of stuff.
Now you don't have to be so defamatory against autistic people.
I'm like one of them. I'm pretty neuroatypical.
That's pretty egotistic.
I guess so. I'm self-diagnosed, Todd. Okay, I'm like Asperger's the bigger thing or is it smaller than autism?
I don't know.
Somewhere in some sort of spectrum. But yeah, these skeptics have constructed their own alternate reality for the killings, pushing theories that the gunman or perhaps his girlfriend were informants for the police or even the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. Theories based in part on Mr. Wortman's large withdrawal of cash in the weeks leading up to the attack. Others believe gun control activists and feminist groups are at play behind the scenes trying to manipulate the facts to advance their agendas. all three are probably true. I heard in the news, probably even Globe and Mail, that he was a criminal informant working with the New Brunswick RCMP to like find out more about Hell's Angels. And also, RCMP officers said that division of CIBC that he was getting cash out of is used specifically for paying off informants.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't connecting dots that don't exist, like whoever this article writer is. And yeah, clearly this NS fighting, females fighting femicide, feminist fighting femicide, clearly she is pushing her agenda by saying, oh, I'm the co-founder of this. Rather than like saying whatever her job is, or that she's a stay-at-home mom, or like whatever. Like,
she doesn't have one.
Instead, she had that to push her job. Fake agenda. then she's a stay-at-home mom. Or what? Does she have an office? Because that's, I don't know if that's allowed during COVID.
She has a babysitter.
True.
She's an office in her house.
A male babysitter?
Yeah.
Better be male babysitter. Otherwise, she's supporting femicide herself.
A gay male babysitter.
Maybe it's, yeah, non-binary babysitter.
Transgender babysitter. It's a eunuch.
Yeah. It's a hermaphrodite babysitter.
At birth, they got their legs cemented. So then they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a cast putting over their genitalia, so they didn't have to find out. There but they go. Didn't grow breasts, but they're still convinced they're a woman. And that's all right.
They just take hormone blockers.
We accept their gender identity.
They grow up gender neutral.
Yeah. I mean, their sex might be male, but their gender identity is female, and we support that. We would never call them a man and hurt their feelings that way.
Yeah.
Unless
they want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If they want us to, if they consent to that, we will do it for them. If they come to a comedy show and we do that to them, they consented by buying a ticket. If they clicked on this video and hit play, they consented. God damn it. People don't understand what they're signing up for anymore. Are disclaimers not a thing anymore? The Nova Scotia's RCMP spokesperson says there's no evidence to support these conspiracy theories. Of course, the RCMP would say there's no evidence to support that we paid this guy or created this guy. Corporal Chris Marshall stresses that investigation.
They burned it all.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Watergate style. Corporal Chris, or MK Ultra style, stresses that investigators are analyzing and trying to corroborate every tip they get in relation to the shootings to assess the weight, validity, and value of that information. Sifting through the many threads of the case is a slow, painstaking process that ensures accountability, clear goals, planning, and decision-making throughout the investigation, aka makes it easier to hide stuff. Any information being withheld from the public is simply to keep from compromising the investigation before it reaches court. I can understand that, but the guy is also dead. So what are you helping people hide evidence? The goal is always the truth of what has occurred. There's no room for speculation in these investigations. The RCMP have been committed to keeping victims' family as well as the public informed with the truth of what has occurred, he said. In doing so, the RCMP have been required to balance the need to maintain the integrity of the ongoing investigation, while at the same time providing information and as much as possible correcting misinformation for the families, the public, and the media. The wide range of theories about the shooting serves to further blur reality around what happened in Puerto Rico a year ago, and some worry the longer it takes to get to the truth, the worse it will get. Yeah, the co-founder of the feminist thing says, the sooner we can get the inquiry going to try to break this cycle of conspiracy that's going on out there and finally get some truth. We'd have been better off to have the truth out there from the very beginning. I think the more we wait, the more distortions there are, the harder it's going to be to get people to believe the truth when it comes. And I blame the RCMP for that. I'm not fully convinced that it wasn't this feminist fighting femicide that was his accomplice or did this and then blamed it on him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, wore like, got like a fake makeup thing of his head, and then like went out do it pretending to be an RCMP officer while pretending to be Mr. Wortman. And then he went to gas up his Mazda 3 and got shot.
Wow, that's a pretty crazy conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I mean, this article brought me to it by saying,
article clearly lays it out exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you not read it with me?
They said the feminists are trying to push their agenda. Why wouldn't have the feminists orchestrated this in order to push their agenda? Sure seems like they did by reading this article by the Globe and Mail.
Seems like it to me too.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Let's go murder.
Any sane person would agree if they read this article. So we'll put a link sane person in the show
will
notes.
Be putting up their would be opening up their gun safe, getting it out, getting ready to go down, take care of this person.
Loading it while keeping the safety on until they arrive at the I want to say villain's home. I almost said victim, but they are definitely a villain. Miss McDonald says she also been targeted by those drawing connections where there aren't any. Coincidence? She's already setting it up to say it wasn't me. Someone called her home recently and accused her of being on the RCMP payroll. Despite her group's public criticism of how the RCMP mishandled previously complaints about domestic violence by the gunman. And now I'm like kind of convinced too, like if I was on the RCMP's payroll, I would tell people I wasn't, because if I did tell them, RCMP would probably stop paying me. If I wasn't on their payroll, I would say, here's my bank statement. Does it look like I'm getting any money from the RCMP? Here's my SIN number. Steal my identity. See if the RCMP is giving me anything.
Yeah. That's what you would do.
Yeah. You know, burn my fingertips off. I'd put my tinfoil hat on and then I would do that. This conspiracy stuff, it's like a mold. It grows. It's so tragic that this stuff takes over, she said. Miss Sarson, the group's other co-founder. Oh, okay. So they just got both of the teammates on. The only members of the group also, they failed to mention that. Says those who are skeptical of Miss Banfield's statements about her past violence at the hands of her partner should really be asking questions about why the RCMP didn't do more to intervene. Well, police reports were filed in the years leading up to the attack. She believes those promoting conspiracy theories about the killings are in minority, but they flock together online to create an echo chamber. Now I'm kind of convinced that these two co-founders could be close friends with Mrs. Banfield.
Yeah.
And like helping her create an alibi.
Do you think there's a connection? Should we find a connection? Live on air now. Should we go and find a connection?
I mean, it wouldn't be too hard, but we'll leave that up to the viewers to post in the comments below, or DM or text or email us the connections. We'll let you guys have some fun. We won't steal it all. Although we're labeled amateur web sleuths, we'll leave some web sleuthing up to you.
Can't have all the fun.
Yeah, exactly. So now this person's attacking web sleuths. They just feed off each other, she said. It satisfies their own worldview that they want to believe is correct. I don't want to believe this stuff is correct. I want you to prove me wrong. Like, I really hope this isn't the case, but the facts keep adding up. Like, it's a theory. If you can prove the theory wrong, it's no longer a theory.
Yeah.
God, people. This is the same lady that uses the word femicide, though. So let's be honest. She's not one who thinks about vocabulary and language.
She may be retarded.
Yeah. Todd, you're offending our viewers and me by associating with us gay retards.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Come on. She might be a genius. A straight genius. Also, definitely a white liberal. But the provincial and federal governments only fanned the flames of conspiracy when they initially chose to hold a closed-door independent review of the case instead of a more open public inquiry. That further convinced some people there was an effort to cover up some of the facts about the shootings. To defend herself, Miss Banfield hired James Lockyer, a high-profile Toronto lawyer most associated with wrongful conviction cases, including that of Guy Paul Morin, who was falsely accused of killing his 9-year-old neighbor, Christine Jessup, in 1984. Mr. Lockyer said he couldn't discuss Miss Banfield's case until her charges are dealt with. He said Miss Banfield's silence has been forced on her by the criminal charges she's facing. That's not really your fault. They went and charged her. Miss McCullough, the Halifax lawyer, acknowledged that. She said she's sensitive to stories about the gunman's past violence toward his common law wife, but doesn't mean Miss Banfield shouldn't need to answer for allegedly supplying with ammunition using the attack. That history doesn't necessarily absolve anyone of their actions, but we don't know what we don't know. While we need to be open to the reality she may have been living in, we also need to be mindful that we don't know the full story. Miss Banfield has fought to keep certain statements to the police hidden and from public view as part of Mr. Lockyer's argument for protecting her right to a fair trial. While some point out that's a normal course of action for anyone facing criminal charges, others see it as proof she has something to hide. I raise an eyebrow over some of the arguments for her wishing to have that stuff withheld. I try to not buy into the argument that it must mean she has something to hide. In the absence of greater clarity, it's hard not to have that suspicion. The only tension Miss Long knows of between her brother and his neighbor involved in a dispute over a proposed real estate deal, Mr. Tuck, wanted to sell his dilapidated home by the sea, inherited from his adopted father, and move his family back to Cape Breton. Mr. Wortman offered him $18,000 for the property, and the stay-at-home dad was offended by the lowball offer. Aaron said, "If you want to fight me over it, I'll fight you. But you have to hit me first, and then I'm going to kick your ass." So Gabriel just sat down, she said. Aaron was so proud of that. Everything he did was to try to be a good example for his kid. Sounds like he asked for a fight that he wasn't ready for. Like, yeah. If you want a knife fight and someone brings a gun, they're just more prepared than you were. Her brother could be blunt and didn't back down from a fight, Miss Long said, but he was also a devoted, loving father, the kind of person who would feed chipmunks by hand and rush to the aid of a bird stuck in his wood stove, she recalled. He taught his daughter how to fix engines, refurbish fiddles, and shoot a bow and arrow. On the morning of Sunday, April 19, Miss Long was concerned about news reports coming out of Porto Pique, called the RCMP to do a wellness check on her brother and his family. It was the next day before it was confirmed they were among the victims. A year later, locked inside her home, jumping at noises at night, she still hasn't recovered from the shock. I wasn't there and it's ruined my life. So she kind of wishes she was dead by that statement. Miss Long said she's too. Yeah. She's found support. I mean, if I was this broken up about it, I would get therapy, but probably also wish I was dead until that therapy.
I'd probably go on a murderous rampage, shoot a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, eye for an eye. Exactly. I would find out where all this guy's family lives.
Yeah.
And kill all of them. Along
Make
with the
sure
people that supply them.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. That or walk into an RCMP station and just start shooting up the place. I'd be like, if you guys weren't so easy to replicate, this wouldn't have happened. Walk in an RCMP uniform.
Yeah.
You know?
See how far you can get?
Like, it's like a commentary.
Keep walking.
Until
someone stops you, then you start shooting.
Yeah, exactly. And then you take their access badge and you get further in. kind of like that would be a pretty sick movie
until
now that I'm talking about
secret level.
Yeah, exactly. James Bond style. And then you're down there with Mr. Wortman himself.
Then you download the file.
Gotta try. The hardest part would be getting to the basement and getting Mr. Wortman out to prove that he wasn't actually killed. Jeff Epstein. Him and Jeff Epstein are probably there together laughing at us.
Playing poker, smoking cigars.
Yeah. Having sex with 13-year-olds. Miss Long said she's found support from others in the area who also lost someone in the shootings. They've been brought together by tragedy, sharing their grief and anger and hope for more transparency. On Sunday, she planned to stand with many of them during the Memorial March in Truro. We want answers and we're not going away until we get them. Respect to the victims and their family for stepping up to the challenge. But the author of this article is Greg Mercer. This guy is such a white liberal trying to fucking steal all these females' glories and stuff. This is a funny comment though. When will the Globe and Mail realize that reports and recommendations follow these reviews week after week amount to nothing more than a searing indictment of a political system that fails to respond and to hold account to? Here's the only thing I want to know. Why did Anne McClellan withdraw from the inquiry commission? The lawsuits have put the families at odds with the killer's longtime girlfriend. Remember the shooting of the RCMP officers who were killed in Mayerthorpe, Alberta? Two people were convicted for helping the shooter. When people fear the violent person more than they trust the police to help them escape from violent retribution, society is a moral dilemma. Accomplices have a duty to report the actions or intended actions of a violent person. Society has a duty to protect the accomplices. It is not uncommon for a violent person to successfully terrorize an area for years due to this fear. Today, there is a small town in Alberta that has been terrorized. This person just makes it all about them, that fucking narcissist.
Yeah.
Which
fucking asshole. Let's kill.
Yeah. This is funny. 21,000 plus deaths from COVID, 17 deaths from a wacko. It was actually 22 deaths, you dumbass. And we have a public inquiry into the 17 deaths? We don't. They just said it was a private inquiry, you fucking dumbass. How about a public inquiry for the 21,000? 5 exclamation marks. And this guy's like, obviously doesn't understand how the intelligence community works. They know that China released a virus from a lab on purpose or on accident. And it, all the scientists are saying it points to a manipulated virus. But yeah, they're going to just release all the information and let China fucking bomb us or whatever. They're going to kill off all the government because they did that. Release the real SARS-CoV-2. But this is funny. This is the second comment on the story. Compare this to the hundreds of the comments Globe receives about every Chauvin trial story. As soon as it became aware of murder, the RCMP had a duty to find the culprit and protect the community from many subsequent killings. Of course, Canadians will never know how badly we are policed. The USA, with all its flaws, can put police officers on trial. In Canada, like China and Russia, mass murder is a political matter. What? I'm confused by this. This person's crazy. Hyper-boring cowboy. As a born and raised Nova Scotian, I find it appalling that Trudeau's response is to take my rifle away. Assault rifle. He's trying to take your semi-automatic assault rifle away. That's not appalling.
I need it, though.
Just have, like, 6 handguns and you're cool. Like, get, like, a bunch of revolvers and, like, wear a bunch of friggin' all over you. That would be sick.
You don't understand, Jay. You don't even know guns.
I want a Colt 45 revolver. Don't talk about
guns like you know guns.
Well, like, if you just learned how to aim a gun at someone, you wouldn't need an automatic weapon. You'd be able to kill fucking 6 people with a six-chamber revolver. Like Colt 45. Maybe you're too weak to lift it up and properly hold it straight.
You can't get a revolver. What? Those are restricted, you fucking idiot. Oh.
Yeah, okay. You could get an assault rifle if you get your restricted license, though, right? So just become an RCMP officer.
I don't even think you can get an assault rifle. Like, what assault rifles are you talking about? I think you get, like, some, like, semi-automatics. But yeah. That's for, like...
Or just buy an illegal gun.
Hunting deer.
Yeah. Why doesn't this person should just buy an illegal gun like the rest of us have to? Like, quit following the rules like a pussy. And buy an illegal gun. Yeah.
I don't know. Because he's a fucking pussy, obviously. I don't know. Yeah. Like, no one's ever stopped me. I got my 12 handguns, but like.
But yeah, exactly. And supposedly this guy had illegal handguns. Canada's worst ever mass shooting was committed with guns from Maine.
Like, just make sure if you're going to shoot someone, like, don't let anyone see you.
Yeah. You know?
Shoot them from back of the head.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people seem to think this is an anti-gun psyop, which I honestly don't know if that's the case. I think it's anti-femicide psyop. Yeah. After reading this article, I'm pretty sure Miss Sarskin and Miss McDonald are up to no good. Whether it's a fake not-for-profit charity. They're making
trouble in the neighborhood.
Yeah, they either have a not-for-profit charity that's not legitimate and fake, and they're laundering money, and they're trying to make it legitimate by speaking to Globe and Mail about this stuff, or they helped facilitate the murders, or they're friends with this girlfriend who helped facilitate the murders, and they're trying to help her keep her name clean. Either way, I don't approve. But
either way, this is some sort of feminist Nazi trap.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole reason this came up and why I looked it up is I thought Loblaws had the flag at half mast, like the grocery stores, because the anniversary of the Nova Scotia mass shootings. And it might have been the case. But then I remembered W. Galen Weston, billionaire and retail visionary, died 4 days ago at 80. So he's like the head of the Weston family and a patriarch of Loblaw Food and Retail Empire. So he owns Shoppers and he owns Loblaws, President's Choice, No Name. Like, you've probably seen his son, the creepy ass looking guy in like Loblaws commercials. If you're a Canadian who's ever watched TV, you've definitely seen Potter? This guy. It's the Canadian Harry Potter. Galen Weston Jr. I hope he named his son Galen Weston. Kept the legacy going. But anyways, I'm like, this guy is a billionaire villain for real. Like, if anyone knows, there was a bread price fixing scandal where seven Canadian companies fixed the price of bread.
Yeah, illegal.
It was either a 14 or 16 year period. So the Competition Bureau of Canada alleged in court documents released January 31st, 2018, that seven Canadian bread companies committed indictable offenses in what journalist Michael Engrate later termed the Great Canadian Bread Price Fixing Scandal of 2018. Penalties can range from $25 million to a prison term of 14 years. And I really hope they all get the prison term.
Illegal.
Damn, this thing might be dead. You got to start taking white collar crime seriously. White crime. So the scheme inflated the price of bread by at least $1.50. It became, and that was when bread was like, I don't know, $2.30 or $3.
I don't know.
Still is that price, but imagine that it doubled the price of bread, just like the gas price fixing scandal. If you guys don't know, you could look that up too. It was a big thing in the GTA, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Galen Weston's legacy. It became known as the 7-10 convention, according to the Bureau documents. A usual 7-cent price increase at wholesale and a 10-cent price bump for the consumers in stores. Between 2001 and 2015, the consumer price index for bread rolls and buns rose by 96%. While during that same time, the CPI for all food purchased from stores increased about 45%. So bread went up twice as fast as all other groceries. The Bureau was approached by informants from Loblaw companies in 2015 and filed the affidavit in 2017, along with evidence in order to convince a judge to grant it search warrants, which it executed on the 31st of October. No charges have been filed as of January 2018, and none of the allegations have been proven in court to that date. But Loblaws did end up giving people a $25 gift card, which basically incriminates them. They're saying there was a bread price fixing scandal. Here's $25 gift card. Meanwhile, you spent $1.50 on extra on bread for 15 years. For how many times did you buy bread?
Yeah,
$25 sounds fair. Thank you. And supposedly, if you took this gift card, you can't be part of the class action lawsuit. So the senior officers of
Canadian, sounds like should be illegal.
It should be, but it's like one of them pro-business laws that like the politicians probably helped make to protect their own asses.
Yeah.
As well as their friends who paid them well. So senior officers of Canadian Bread, since May 2014, a Grupo Bimbo subsidiary, and Weston Foods, now a sister company to Loblaws under parent George Weston Limited, colluded to boost bread prices and later strong-armed retailers to increase their prices in tandem. The two companies' name became aware of the investigation on October 31, 2017, and decided to cooperate with investigators in December in exchange for receiving immunity from prosecution. So they decided to cooperate, and that meant they weren't going to get persecuted, which is crazy. Was there other companies involved? Like, how did they get away with this? Is that why they got no persecution? Because there's five other companies they snitched on? In which case, now they're snitches. Now they're even worse than fucking people that did the bread. They're worse than themselves that did the bread price fixing. Yeah. A statement issued by Canadian Bread noted that George Weston and Loblaw informants admitted to inappropriate conduct and accused certain former Canadian Bread executives dating back to 2001 while Canada Bread was under previous ownership. So they saw that this was a price fixing scheme and they ended up buying the bread company that did it and didn't stop it. Like, that's kind of weird, guys. The retailers who participated in the scheme, including Sobeys and Metro, allegedly demanded that the bread suppliers manage actively their retail competition by coordinating bread prices between the retailers. The affidavit also refers to a series of alleged incidents and emails that appear to implicate senior officials at bread suppliers and relevant category managers at the retailers.
All of which are on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Retail customers would call threatening to reject a price increase if another retailer was offside in terms of pricing alignment. None of them wanted to be first to implement the price increase. There was always a negotiation process going back and forth between the four retailers where the supplier was trying to coordinate because somebody had to be the first to move. What confuses me is like how many people are actually deciding what grocery store they go to because of the price of bread and not just using price matching. An academic from Dalhousie, who was a professor of food distribution and policy, said he had previously been unaware of the issue. And now I'm asking myself, where else in the grocery store is there collusion other than bread? That's the real question, I think. Maybe in milk. There's something that also hasn't gone up in price for 25 years and then all of a sudden went up recently. Maybe in eggs, maybe in bacon, something that's insanely priced compared to other meats. Maybe in all meats. In an analysis performed by Greyer, published by Microsoft, the cost differential between actual and normative CPI, a weekly loaf purchase over the decade and a half interval was on the order of $400. Microsoft, was that $400 per year? Because if what I would think is, if you're buying bread weekly, that's 50 loaves of bread, $3 a loaf, that's $150. Times that by 15 years, 15 times 15 is like 150 plus another. It's a crazy high number. I'm bad at math. 12 times 12 is 144. 15 times 15, let's see, 75. That's 225. So you're spending $2,250 on bread. Half of that, in my head, would be $1,200.
That's a lot of bread.
You just got scammed at a $1,200. And here's a $25 gift card. Now we're even.
Yeah. If you took that, you're an idiot.
Yeah. And also, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, American consumers saw bread prices rise half as fast as what happened in Canada during the time of Loblaw's misconduct. In January 8, 2018, in an attempt to pacify public opinion, Loblaw's offered a $25 gift card. The retailer expected as many as 6 million Canadians to receive the card and was expected to cost up to 150 million. Meanwhile, they probably should have paid us like 10 times that. The retailer expected at least more like 100 times that or 50 times that. People who accept the cards are not restricted. Oh, this is even better. Not restricted from participating in a class action lawsuit against Loblaws, but any settlements they receive may be reduced by the gift card value. Derek Nepinek was a lead
$25 off the settlement.
Yeah, so instead of getting $1,250, you're only going to get $1,225. plus whatever the inflation is on that for the like it's going to add up to like everyone should be getting $1,500. Derek Nepinek, billion class action lawsuit on behalf of all Canadians who purchased the bread from the name grocer since January 2001. As of January 2018, other lawsuits were planned by Strasburg, Sazo, Sutz, and Merchant Law. A senior law officer from the Competition Bureau wrote in the ITO documents that the last documented price increase occurred in December 2015, or a year and a half after the Grupo Bimbo takeover, and he believes the conduct is ongoing. So he's convinced bread prices are still being fixed.
Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody went to jail.
It's just like
with the bank thing.
And the plane ticket. prices. Yeah. Oh, with the whole crashing the economy.
Yeah, nobody went to jail. Why wouldn't they keep doing it?
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of inflation, there's a lot of that shit in the news lately too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been seeing that a lot lately.
And people
hyperinflation.
Yeah, exactly. People might wonder, like, oh, what's wrong with the inflation? My mutual funds have gone up 30% year over year every year for the last 15 years. And my home's gone up 25% year over year for the last 15 years. Well, don't you think that's kind of weird? Like, that, what are you going to, how are you going to buy a new home? Like, what are you going to do if there's like a crash and no one exists to buy your stuff when you retire? Like, not everyone's going to just keep chasing the rabbit.
Yeah.
So is inflation a problem? And if so, who feel it most? Inflation, this is an Al Jazeera thing. Inflation is in the news because prices of goods that everyone around the world depends on are going up, like food and fuel. Here's what you want to know and need to know. As economies recover and big ones continue to benefit from massive injections of government stimulus, aka quantitative easing, aka what a lot of countries did during hyperinflation times, like pre-World War II and Zimbabwe when they went nuts, a wonky and sometimes scary buzzword has crept back into the conversation: inflation. Broadly speaking, inflation is when prices rise and the money in your pocket doesn't stretch as far as it used to. So your purchasing power goes down. A little bit of inflation is no bad thing, but too much of it can be really damaging to economies and livelihoods. So is inflation a problem? And if so, who would it hurt the most? All right, this one's not dead. That other one seems to be. Or just the battery's dead.
Yeah.
So inflation is in the news because economies are gearing up again. As factories and supply chains grow back to life, it's causing transport bottlenecks, rising shipping costs, shortage of commodities like copper and oil to produce things. Same with that fucking ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. Like, that's obviously going to inflate shipping costs, which is going to be passed on to the customer because these corporations aren't going to want to hurt their profits.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get passed on to the customer, well, it ends up getting absorbed by the insurance companies, who then are going to charge you more for insurance in the long term because they're going to charge everyone more for insurance, which is going to increase prices over time also. So another reason inflation is going up is that some governments, most notably the United States, are spending a lot of money to help their economies recover from their pre-pandemic mojo. Another country that's doing it is Canada. We're buying a bunch of bonds, and that's what's keeping interest rates so low. Even on mortgages, like the Bank of Canada rate hasn't changed from 2 years ago to today, but somehow mortgage rates are the lowest they've ever been. It's the same with the fuel prices. Like, a barrel of oil cost as much as it did before the pandemic started, but somehow gas is 30 cents more.
Yeah. How does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Other than price fixing.
Right.
So do I have to worry about rising material prices? You do. If factories pass those increased costs on to wholesalers, who then pass them on to retailers, who then pass them on to you, the consumer, in the form of higher prices. Are factories passing on higher material costs? Well, let's take a look at producer prices, which measure the change in prices that factories share to wholesalers. In China, producer prices rose 4.4% in March on a monthly basis, compared to only 1.7% in February. And inflation, let's not forget, is supposed to be 2% for the year. So if stuff went up 1.7% in February, 4.4% in March, that's 6%. And that's only in 2 months. You times that 6% by six, that means prices could go up 36% this year. If that pattern's followed, like every 2 months. But in the US, producer, hopefully, that would be the convenient way out, philosophically. Sorry for anyone that's offended by that, who thinks life's cool or something, some lame shit like that. In the US, producer loves misery, maybe. Producer prices rose 1% in March over the previous month, which was double the rise since seen in February. So also in the US, things went up 1.5% in 2 months. So 1.5 times 12 is 18. So that's 10 times the regular inflation rate. Simply put, producer prices are going up. Is that a problem in the country where it's happening? Not necessarily. China's exporting powerhouse. So as inflation rises, it threatens to feed inflation around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a problem. What about prices for consumer? Those are spiking too. U.S. consumer prices jumped 0.6% in March, the biggest monthly jump since August 2012. Nearly half of that rise was due to climbing petrol prices, which rose 9.1% in March from the month before. In China, consumer prices rose 0.4%. So will prices continue to climb? That is a hotly debated question right now among economists and policymakers, especially in the U.S. Why? Because they can't agree on whether those price surges will prove temporary, aka a supply issue that's going to be fixed, or if the U.S. economy is in danger of overheating, thanks to $1.9 trillion in coronavirus relief aid that Congress passed in February. That massive stimulus added significantly more firepower to consumer spending, the engine of the U.S. economy that drives some two-thirds of growth. What does it mean when an economy overheats? When an economy is overheating, demand for goods and services grows so quickly that it outpaces supply. So it becomes a demand issue and not just a supply issue. This drives up prices. That can incentivize firms to take on debt in order to boost their capacity in expectation that the good times will only get better. So this is what they're saying about the Canadian housing market. In its musical chairs, it's hot potato. In Toronto, you're able to get a mortgage and that you can't afford, and you know if you ever fall too far behind on your parents, you're going to be able to sell your house for more than it's worth, downsize, and then you'll have more equity in the home and a cheaper mortgage payment. And so you'll basically double dip, or you could buy the same size home with that equity you built up, and now your mortgage payment's down. Or you can get a second mortgage and now your home's an ATM. That doesn't sound so bad. It is. Should prices start spiraling viciously upward, some are worried that if it happens, it would prompt the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, to raise interest rates, which cools demand and economic growth. So by the sounds of it, based on what happened in March, interest rates should go up unless somehow prices don't rise anymore. And if interest rates don't go up, then there's going to be hyperinflation. All the spare capacity businesses sunk money into would likely be idled, which means businesses start to lay off workers.
You think we could have hyperinflation despite interest rates going up?
Yep. It happened in the 80s where like the inflation continued. Like, look, like here's the perfect example. More people want oil. The OPEC keeps saying we're not going to produce more oil. No matter what you do with interest rates, stuff needs oil to move. Like, not everyone's driving a Tesla. Boats don't run on electric batteries. Fucking
yeah.
Train carts don't run on electric batteries. So planes don't run on electric batteries. So if they don't produce enough oil, prices are going to go up no matter how much they raise interest rates. And that's only going to make it more expensive for businesses and to keep going, because they need to be able to borrow money to grow. Because they can't, and they need, because like, let's say you want to buy 1 million pounds of weed from me, Todd. If I need to find a way to grow the 1 million pounds of weed, I don't have the money from you until you buy it. So I'm going to take that purchase order, go to the bank, and they're going to give me the money I need to set up the facilities to grow that 100,000 pounds, or whatever we said, 100 million pounds. Fair. So that's kind of how the world works on credit. Either people owe me money, and they're going to pay me eventually, so give me a loan until they pay me, and now I can buy a new thing to keep my business going, to get more receivables. Or I have a purchase order coming. In order to fulfill the purchase order, I need to borrow money in order to ramp up my production levels. So if it doesn't make sense financially to borrow the money, the interest rates went up. Well, now there's even less supply because I'm not meeting the demand. So it only increases the hyperinflation. So it's like a fine balance. Like, you can raise interest rates to try to lower demand, but if you lower it too much, there's not going to be any supply coming in either.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the supply runs out, people start outbidding each other with because the rich people still have a lot of money. And they're going to be like, oh yeah, NFTs are going to keep going up in value forever. Then who's going to buy these NFTs? Like homeless people?
Yeah.
Like rich people are going to just keep swapping things back and forth with each other the same way they already do. But the buck's got to stop somewhere. Eventually there's going to be people that are going to fall off the rich ladder.
Right.
And we'll eat them.
Fall in the middle class and down to poor class.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
eat them right out.
Yeah, exactly.
Rip out their ribs and
you mean fall from poor class. And there's like basically a few classes in the world at this point. It's like elite level where you're multi-billionaire. There's rich where you're like 100 million to $1 billion. There's upper middle class where you're like a multi-millionaire. There's like lower middle class where you're a millionaire. There's poor where you have no money in the bank, but you have good income. And then there's slavery where like, if you didn't go to work for a week, you would be thrown in jail or you would lose all your credit facilities. You would lose your home. You would lose your, like, you basically are forced to work or live on the streets. So, and you can't always do that when you have children and people that rely on you. So that is like basically modern day slavery.
Yeah. It's
like you're working for room and board.
Yeah. Slaves would probably find that offensive.
Yeah. I mean, they probably had better living facilities and more food than some people in today's world. But yeah, they probably would still find it offensive. Or they'd be like, yeah, you're onto something, buddy. I can only imagine. This is pretty bad. I'm sure that the master doesn't want it to stop happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll find a way to take advantage of you, whether it's Uyghur Muslims that they make do the slave work or whether it's someone working at 7-Eleven. Like,
well, whether you bend over now or later.
Yeah, exactly. And you get sterilized from all the fucking cheap ass food. That's all you can afford to buy. And the fucking, like, you're pumping, fueling up cars and like sucking in the fucking carbon monoxide and all the other greenhouse gases that they emit.
Yeah.
So yeah, what kind of inflation might I be feeling right now? If you have a car, you're feeling pain at the pumps. I was for sure. But at the same time, it's not like I haven't seen gas prices at $1.40 before. So in the US, for example, nearly half of the gain in monthly consumer prices in March was due to rising petrol. Globally, food prices are surging. United Nations of Food and Agriculture, which tracks changes in international prices of commonly traded food commodities, rose to the 10th consecutive month in March to its highest level since 2014. Does everyone feel the pain equally? No. Rising prices of basic staples and exacerbating inequalities within and between nations. That's because for low-income households, essentials like food, fuel, eat up a larger share of their monthly budgets. Even the lower middle income people, all of those people have homes that they need to support. The cost of materials have gone up like crazy. Appliances have gone up. Labor costs have gone up because people need to get paid COVID premiums and need to cover the cost of masks and all this other bullshit. So it's not just the poorest of poor. It's like anyone who's not rich enough to own property and stocks that they can leverage in order to pay these higher prices. Like, yeah. I don't remember my wage going up fucking 30%, but house prices did.
Yeah, right.
I don't remember my wage going up 9% in March when petrol prices did. Like, but it still cost me, I still got to use gas to get to and from work. That, like, and I got to eat food to be alive. Like, so this I don't agree with. Inflation also hurts older people on fixed incomes because they receive the same benefit each month, but due to price increases, they can't buy as much as they used to with it. Older people got to benefit from creating this boomer economy and having low property taxes for a long time.
Yeah.
So you guys just sat there and let this happen. Yeah, maybe you should go out and work so your income isn't fixed.
Get a fucking job.
Or save more money. Maybe you shouldn't be retired so early. Yeah, exactly. I hear minimum wage went up. Like, now you get paid more to work at Walmart. What are long-term effects of all this? The disparity has contributed to K-shaped recovery. The groups that were on top begin with wealthy people who own houses and stock portfolios and have kept working from home during the pandemic, keep rising, while the bottom, low-wage workers, continue to decline as their purchasing power declines, spurring wider inequality. And worst case, they don't get paid any sick time. They get paid vacation time based on their wage, so they can't actually take vacation. It's like a 4% thing for part-timers. But you never get approved for booking time off. Those people are screwed. Like, you can't miss a day of work or else you're out your money. And everything costs more. So you get COVID, you can't afford to survive the fucking isolation period.
Yeah.
What about a country where food prices have soared? People need to eat and prices surges don't make that any less true. Nigeria, inflation at a four-year peak February, led by a 22% surge in food prices. This country's already experiencing high rates of unemployment and crime. Experts warn the increase in...
Yo, we got to wrap this one up soon, Jay. Spark
the good unrest. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Sorry.
No worries. Lebanon was already in the throes of a crisis. Prices soared to five times what they were in 2019. What exactly is hyperinflation? Generally defined as inflation of 50% or more per month. Yes, Venezuela, another economy that's on its knees, is currently experiencing a 2,600% annual inflation rate. So Venezuela is really having trouble with this. Are there any benefits to inflation? A little inflation is a good thing. That is why the Fed sets it at 2%. If people or countries, for that matter, are deep in debt, inflation can help ease the burden because they are servicing those debts with a currency that is worth less than it was when they borrowed the money. So basically, inflation's a good thing in the government's eyes. They just took on all kinds of debt for COVID, before COVID. Biden's going crazy with saying he's going to redo the infrastructure and steal from the rich, aka tax them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I've heard in the past that when Germany went through its hyperinflation, it was really just a ploy to not actually have to pay back France.
Yeah, it seems pretty clever. Very clever, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll go super quick on what 420 is about and what Bicycle Day is about. So 420 supposedly started in 1971, San Rafael, California, when half a dozen high school students started using 420 to say they were calling themselves Waldos. They just used a bunch of slang.
Yeah.
Because they hang out at a wall behind the school at 420 hippies. To blaze up.
Nerd ass hippies.
And they were calling their plan to find a crop based on a treasure map made by a grower. 420 Lewis. So it sounds to me like this grower was just like, hey, here's a fake map of where my crops would be to throw these people off the scent of where his crops actually were.
Yeah.
And then this Stephen Hager of High Times was responsible for first popularizing the Waldo story. But it's now become an international day of cannabis celebration with observances in New York City, San Francisco, Santa Cruz, Vancouver, Montreal, Denver, Ottawa, Edmonton, Boulder, Colorado, Toronto, Berkeley, California, and Australia. Sydney City, Melbourne, Sydney, and
Sydney.
Also
Sydney.
Yeah, also in Hyde Park, London, Dunedin, New Zealand, Ljubljana, Slovenia, Northern Cyprus. So all kinds of places. But the bad side is traffic city. Despite safety, despite two studies supporting a supposed increase of fatal motor vehicle crashes on April 20, further investigation and analysis found evidence did not support such claims. So they're trying to lie again. And then signs bearing the number 420 have been frequently stolen. In Colorado, the Department of Transport replaced the mile marker 420 on I-70 east of Denver with one reading 419.99. However, the folklore of the 419.99 sign has caused it to be stolen too. As well as becoming a tourist destination. Yeah, that's even cooler than a 420 sign. The same thing happened in Idaho, where they replaced the 420 sign with a 419.9. According to Washington Post, there are 11 420 mile markers in the U.S. after three replacements and one stolen and one not replaced. Officials have changed 420 street signs in Minnesota, Goodhue County, to 42X Street. The mile marker 420 sign on the U.S. Route 89, the only 420 marker in the state of Utah, is frequently stolen. In California, they named a Senate bill, California Senate Bill 420, to regulate medical marijuana use. That's awesome. Yeah. And then Marijuana Freedom and Opportunity Act was announced by Senator and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on January 9, 2019. H.R. 420 was introduced in the 116th Congress by Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, named the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act, to designed to remove cannabis and controlled substances and return to regulation to the states. So that's awesome. They even named the bills 420.
Yeah.
Following the success of Washington, D.C.'s Initiative 71 to legalize cannabis in 2014, Mayor Muriel Bowser granted license plate number 420 to the campaign's leader, Adam Edinger. the hash bash is a different thing, but that's held annually on the first Saturday in April since 1972 at the University of Michigan. I also heard April 20 had something to do with Hitler. Speaking of like World War II and that shit. Like, I heard it was his death day and his birthday or something crazy like that. Let me just look it up wicked quick.
Sounds made up. Sounds like a made up Facebook thing.
Yeah, I don't see it here. I don't know when he would have been born, not in the 1800s, but it was definitely his death day. Yeah, 1889. Austrian born German politician Adolf Hitler, Führer of Nazi Germany. Now let me scroll down to the deaths to see if this is real facts. Cause I'm like, I don't know. I don't really want to celebrate 420 if that's what it means. And I also try to celebrate it every day. George that's Takei, what it means, American, I'm gonna shave also
my mustache just like his.
So people know what you're about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
The Hitler must, that's why Charlie Chaplin did it first. Because he was a hardcore stoner.
Sixth.
Too many people born on April 20th. Let's see. When would he have died? 1944. 45. Yeah, no. 45? Yeah, no, he's not listed on here. So maybe it was just the day he was born, which makes it even worse. Celebrating his birthday.
Happy birthday, Hitler.
Yeah. He died on April 30th, 1945. That's the mistake.
10 days after his birthday.
Yeah. But yeah, Bicycle Day, not to be confused again with World Bicycle Day, June 3rd. That's tomorrow. So get your LSD tabs ready and get your bicycles out of the garage.
Because go for a trip.
It doesn't celebrate the day that Albert Hofmann created LSD. That was November 16. When he created it for the CIA or whoever with Sandoz Chemicals. But he found out April 19, 1943, how psychedelic it was when he accidentally took it. So supposedly he was handling the chemical and I don't know if he accidentally spilt it on himself. It doesn't mention it. Ingested 250 micrograms of the substance. And less than 1 hour later, he experienced sudden changes. And as was customary in Basel, he made his journey by bicycle. On the way, Hoffman's condition rapidly deteriorated, as he suggested, as he struggled with feelings of anxiety, alternating in his beliefs that the next door neighbor was a malevolent witch, that he was going insane, and that the LSD had poisoned him. Little did he know it poisoned him in a dope-ass way. His original intent was to commemorate Hoffman's original accidental exposure on April 16, but that day fell midweek and was not a good time for a party. So he chose the 19th to honor Hoffman's first exposure instead. This was Thomas B. Roberts, a professor at Northern Illinois University who invented the name Bicycle Day.
Yeah.
So, that's weird. it says April 19, but then later it says, oh, it actually happened on April 16, and they just changed it to 19. So is this guy trying to steal the credit, or did it actually happen on April 16 and April 19? Internet sleuths, get to it and let us know.
Yeah, gonna have to get to the bottom of this one.
For sure. And yeah, there's one more thing I want to say about this. Wartime restrictions had prohibited cars on the streets of Basel. So they had to bike. And that's why, supposedly, why he had his bike that day.
Yeah.
So LSD was... Nazis. Yeah, exactly. LSD was created during wartime. So hopefully there's some cool new psychedelic drugs being created during COVID times.
In Switzerland, in the middle of the war.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, it wasn't on purpose or anything. It was an accident. We didn't know what we were doing, creating the MK Ultra fuel for the fire.
One of the top CIA agents just happened to be in the country.
Yeah, exactly. And happened to be, Sandoz happens to be connected with CIA some way or another.
It's just coincidence.
Yeah, but yeah, fuck that. Who cares?
That's just a rap drugs theory.
Exactly. Just like the freaking crazy ass lady there. But I think everyone should go out and enjoy 419. LSD. 420. LSD. Oh, sick. We got a buddy in the comments who I missed. Thanks for all of the comments, Unheardsome. Oh, I think he's here right now. What are you smoking for 420? Cereal milk. Oh, yeah, yeah. I got some CBD stuff right now. And then, of course, some Delta 9. Got the white out. Got the Sinaloa Gold. Whatever else they got on the menu, I'm usually grabbing. Some homegrown. All kinds of crazy shit. But, yeah, follow us on IG. Follow us on Twitter. We might be back there. We might not. We'll try to keep them up. At least a couple stories here and there and retweets. Follow us on YouTube, subscribe, give us a 5-star on Apple Pod if you like this, and you're listening to it there, or you got an iPhone even, or a MacBook or whatever. More 5-stars the merrier. And tell your friends, give us a share, give us a like down below, a dislike, hit the bell if you want to know when we're coming live, because it's always random, but usually Sundays. And drop a comment, drop a DM, drop a text, drop an email. Send some money to paypal.me/rapdrugs so we can build a replica RCMP car and show you how and then give it away to a homeless man. They need somewhere to live.
Exactly.
And I saw a couple that just had set up some friggin' tarpaulins beside a bus stop behind the LCBO in Toronto. So come on, you don't want them living like that. Neither do I. I don't have the money to fucking just buy them a car to give away. But maybe together we'll have the money. And if you need something for your money, like you're homeless yourself, maybe you want a new, clean, nice shirt, go to teesprings.com or teespring.com/stores/rapdrugs. It's in the show notes below. Buy yourself some merch before it's sold out, and we're able to drop the new designs. But if we don't sell out, we're just saving this cool-ass designs. Like, I got one made up that's just like this, but it's like Rap Drugs, and instead of a joint, it's a fucking bong. And then the bottom says smoke weed every day, and nice. It's got Todd's face on the back, so
I want to get one of those.
Yeah, well, the store's gonna have to sell out, or maybe we're just gonna have to wear them on the show and show you guys how cool they are. Humble brag, I like to call it. But yeah, crush whatever psychedelics you can tomorrow. If it's LSD, more power to you. If it's not, maybe go with some plant-based alternatives like psilocybin, and smoke weed every day, not just 420. But if you do want to celebrate Hitler's birthday, we won't complain. Maybe get some like some friggin' Oktoberfest beers, some German beers.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's some sort of German strain of weed. I don't know.
That's all, folks.
Yeah. Should have said that. We'll be back with more strains next week on the Rap Drugs Pod.